Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Good evening, everybody. Hello, hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour show. It's part of the many helpful services provided by the Forever Family Foundation. So over the next hour, we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and I hope you are all safe and sound during these unprecedented, dangerous, and trying times of COVID-19. As your host tonight, I have the pleasure of having a chat with a very gifted medium, Dr. Neil Zapolsky. So sit back, relax, have a glass of wine or a glass of scotch or any other spirits, and don't think about the zombie apocalypse for the next hour that we're together. And open your mind to the realm of the possibilities happening in the spiritual world. So Doc Neil is a board-certified family practice physician who uses the holistic approach to medicine, but he is also an accomplished and evidential medium. He was a certified medium of Forever Family Foundation for many years and is a registered medium with the Lilydale Assembly. In addition to traditional demonstrations of mediumship, Doc Neil sometimes goes into trance as he channels those in spirit. As always, our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters, such as the Kamlik Center, Loves Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisetti, I Am Psychic, and other value supporters. Our main topic tonight, and it's a fascinating one, folks, is physical versus mental mediumship. But dear listeners, just keep in mind that tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes only. Your questions, they're more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Doc Neil will not be performing any readings tonight. So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, Doc Neil, please feel free to call our number at 1-800-627-6008. 1-800-627-6008. So, Doc Neil, welcome to the show. Are you safe and sound?
I am safe and sound in Rapid City where the sun is out and I'm outside speaking.
Rapid City.
If you hear traffic in the background, it's because I'm near a road.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm calling from my usual basement, which is Albany, New York, so we are very far away from each other physically.
Oh, good. Yeah, I went to school at RPI in Troy.
No kidding. That's amazing. I was just biking there with my Harley-Davidson a couple weeks ago.
Great.
Nice area. Very nice area. Wow, small world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great. Welcome to the show. Our main topic tonight is physical mediumship versus mental mediumship. Now, there's so much to talk about this because, to me, it is the most fascinating asset, like especially physical mediumship. It's incredible what can happen and what people can do and what has been done. And it's actually mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing beyond logic. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah. So what is your experience with these two types of mediumships? I think you practice mental mediumship, correct?
Correct. When I was in high school, I lived 8 miles from Lilydale, which is a big spiritualist community in Western New York. And
yep.
In high school on a lark, I got a reading there, and it was like amazing. The guy brought through my relative by name, by description, told me all kinds of stuff that he had no way of knowing but was right on. And I thought, wow, that guy has a cool trick, or else if he can really do it, it proves that there's something beyond the physical. And if he can figure out how to do it, I should be able to figure out. So I started taking classes and figured out how to do the mental mediumship part. And I'd love to do the physical mediumship part. I'm still working on it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Have you been to any physical seances?
Absolutely, lots of them. There's
no kidding.
There's some of the more well-known physical mediums in the world are Warren Taylor from England and Scott Milligan from England, and then there's David Thompson from Australia. Uh-huh. So I've been to them. Bill Meadows, I've seen him. Hoyt Robinette is an interesting physical medium with a different type of physical manifestation, and I've been to several of his meetings as well. And now, believe it or not, Warren Taylor is doing physical seances, which you can watch on Facebook.
Can you believe that? You mean there's enough light that is entered for him to be able to do that?
He uses a subdued blue light so that the camera can pick up the motion of the cabinet. For our listeners who don't know about what I'm talking about, physical mediumship, there are some old-fashioned instruments, I suppose you could call them,
right,
on physical mediumship. One is called a seance trumpet. And what it is about a two-foot-high cone, maybe 5 inches at the base and an inch at the top, used kind of like a megaphone, so that the spirit basically forms like a voice box inside out of what's called ectoplasm, which we can get into, and
right,
expresses himself through this. So you can see that levitate, float around the room with this seance on Facebook. So it's kind of interesting.
That is crazy. I would love to see that. I'm definitely going to look into that, because I've researched, and I've heard about D.D. Hume. And I've heard about David Thompson, and there's this other guy from Germany, Carl Mwegi, who I've heard about.
Kai Mwegi. Kai Mwegi's been at my house many times. We do seances at my house. I've invited them all.
Wow.
To my house.
Yeah, I'm friends on Facebook with him.
Yeah.
But that's Kai, really amazing. Fascinating, very fascinating stuff. I mean, part of me wants to say, oh, man, there's got to be some kind of trick to this. And the other part is, like, very scientific. It's, because there's a lot of restrictions needed. There's, it has to be dark. It can't be regular light for the ectoplasm, obviously. There has to be that curtain and stuff like that. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of protocols that have to be followed.
There are. However, it's interesting with Warren Taylor, for instance, which, if you're looking on Facebook, is C-A-Y-L-O-R. You can find him and figure out how to attend one of his Friday night seances. So he's done seances at my house, and in candlelight, not red light, but candlelight, the spirits can change the conditions such that in candlelight you can see ectoplasm and materialization. Now, materialization means that things materialize. Physical matter appears in the room, which had not been in the room previously. So you can have these apports, exactly.
Apports.
And they take the form of jewels or coins or various things. And not only do the English and German mediums do physical phenomena, but the Native Americans also, the medicine men, are well known to produce physical phenomena, and these are things where the spirits are actually able to influence objects in the physical. That, for instance, that rattles will levitate and fly around the room. Hands will materialize out of thin air, and yet you can feel the hand. I remember one guy said that he was in one of my native ceremonies where I invited a medicine man to my house. And we were all sitting around in a circle, and he says to me, well, he says, one of the spirits brought me a rattle and handed it to me, and I felt the hand, and he said, and then there was nothing. So it was a hand, giving him a hand with nothing attached. That was amazing.
That is crazy. You're a doctor. You've been through the school. You've been through the rigors of training and getting your PhD and all that. I mean, you're not somebody that's going to be fooled very lightly. You know what I mean?
No. Well, actually, the reason I have seances in my own house is because I know it's not rigged. There's no trap doors. There's no wires. There's no mirrors. So it's in my house. I was very skeptical about what was going on because of all of the conditions that you have to have and dark and everything like that. So I thought, when I first saw this stuff, I was still skeptical. So I said, I'm not going to believe it till I have it in my house. So I've invited all these people into my house, and it is real. It is totally amazing.
That is mind blowing, and that gives me a lot of hope about, you know, this whole thing.
It's a demonstration of how the spiritual forces can influence physical matter. Now, I've been sitting for physical phenomena for a long time. Oh, once in a while, little things happen. But I had a group, and it takes persistency and consistency. We had a group of six people that met every Thursday night for the purpose of developing physical mediumship for 7 years. And occasionally, we would work on table tipping, which you probably heard about, where the spirit forces supposedly move the table. Well, after 7 years, and the table would move around, you know, and I thought, yeah, it's like, I think we're subconsciously pushing it and everything like that. I said, I'm not going to believe this until it actually lifts up totally into the air. And so finally, after 7 years, it actually lifted into the air, and I have and it did it in broad daylight outside yet. So I have a film. If you look up Harmonic Fellowship of Light on YouTube, you'll see the film of the table being levitated on my deck. And you can see our hands on top of the table. The table likes to turn upside down. It levitates easier that way. But we're just touching the legs of the table. And I also have a video of us with our hands on top of the table in my house and the table levitating up to the ceiling. It's amazing. You can say that's psychokinetic rather than spirit, but I think spirit uses that energy to express itself as well. Totally amazing.
Harmonic Fellowship of Light.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you look on YouTube,
yes, I'm going there right after this interview. This is going to be phenomenal. Wow, I can't wait to see that. That's amazing. So, do you think that when the for somebody to become a physical medium, you really have to work at it? You start probably off as a mental medium, and then you develop your skills, like you said, many years in a physical seance, week after week, a dedicated kind of thing. Does it happen? Is there a way to circumnavigate that long process? I mean, are some people just born with it?
Yes. Rarely people have that ability. Now, very often, I don't know if you've heard of poltergeist phenomena where things suddenly move or dishes throw off the shelf and break. Usually that kind of expression is psychokinetic energy from a human which has that ability, and it's usually an adolescent female, although adolescent males as well are in the house when these things happen. As a matter of fact, spiritualism started from raps on the walls of the Fox Sisters. In 1848. With
Fox
two
sisters.
Adolescent girls in the house. So the
adolescent
girls lent that psychic energy for the expression of spirit.
Yep. I remember reading about that. And that was near Lilydale where it started with the Fox Sisters.
Yeah, it was near Rochester, New York, in Hydesville.
Oh, near Rochester, okay. So, but, the two Fox Sisters, I believe, and that started the whole thing.
Yeah, and it started with physical phenomena. So people who were not aware of the actions of spirit would come and they'd hear the knocks and they developed like an alphabet and a communication system,
right,
and were able to get intelligent information from what are now known as spirit intelligences. And we know that the spirit intelligence will use psychokinetic energy. And some people have they're born with a type of energy around them where the spirits can reach through and use that energy fairly easily to express through it. But for me, for instance, it took me 7 years to get a table to levitate, and it takes a long time and a lot of dedication. You don't see that as often today because we're always...
No, you don't. I mean, this was a big form of entertainment back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Getting together and doing seances, so it was a lot more practiced than it is now. Now everybody's got iPhones.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the society. And it's hard to dedicate, especially when you're constantly bombarded by instantly gratifying videos and responses. Everything has to be so quick these days. To sit down and dedicate that kind of time, I just don't, it's so rare.
Well, let me tell you about a physical medium in an interesting area called psychography. His name is Hoyt Robinette, And what he does is he takes a basket, which is about a foot and a half diameter by maybe 6 or 8 inches tall, and a tight-fitting lid. It's light-proof in the basket. And he'll he'll have a session where he takes pens and pencils and paint sticks and things, and he throws a layer of that in the basket. Then he takes an unopened, fresh layer of 3x5 cards and puts that on. It's like lasagna. He puts a layer of pens, a layer of cards, a layer of pens. And then the audience, which is maybe 20 people, will write a little piece of paper that's called a billet. They'll put their name, and they'll put a couple of names of spirits they would like to hear from, and they'll put a question. And what he does, after he fills the basket with these blank cards and puts the lid on, he says, "That is our dark seance cabinet." And he puts it right beside himself in full light, in full view of the audience. He collects the billets from each of us. Then he puts a blindfold on very tightly, and somebody gives him the basket, and he pulls out cards from the basket that we've written our little billets on, and he'll say, "Is somebody here in the audience named Roman?" And you'll say, "Yeah, that's me." And then he'll give you the names of the spirits you're looking for. He'll answer your question, and then he'll say, "Now, in that basket, in the dark, the spirits are going to paint a picture or draw a picture for you on one side of a 3x5 card. On the other side, they'll identify it as your card by putting your name on it, as well as the names of some of your spirit helpers." So he reads these billets. It takes maybe an hour. After an hour, he unblindfolds himself, takes the basket, opens it up, and on the top of the basket are 20 3x5 cards, all with names, all with pictures, and he distributes them to the people. Absolutely incredible. So what I did one time, I wrote on my billet that I wanted to hear from Lefty and Catherine, and then I wrote a question. And so he pulls out the billet, and he says, "Somebody here has a guide named Ho-Ho," and I do. So I said, "Hey, that's me." So he gave me a reading, and a little mini reading with the billet, and then he said, "Yeah, their names will be on the card." So at the end, on that card, there's a picture which I couldn't figure out at first. It was some looks like a Polish composer. My ancestry is Polish, and a Pomeranian dog, and I couldn't figure that out. But on the back of the card was my father's name, Richard Zepkowski, and Lefty was his nickname. But his full name was on the card. And his mother, Catherine Zepkowski, her full name was on the card, spelled C-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E, which is how she spelled her name. Incredible. And then
That is crazy.
Absolutely. And then I realized that the Pomeranian, the Zepkowskis, actually the ancestors came from Pomerania. So that was a Pomeranian dog on the front. So incredible, incredible. And now, go ahead.
And he wouldn't have known who his audience was beforehand, correct?
No, correct. Well, here's another one. I've been to him about 4 times. Now, interesting, I was going to say the last time I was supposed to go to him was in April, but because of social distancing, it was canceled. However, they did it by Zoom. So what you did, you emailed his assistant the names you wanted to hear from, the questions, and then he had all the billets in on Zoom. You watched him do the basket, you know, put the crayons in and all that stuff, and pull the billets, give the reading, and then he'd pull your card, and he would mail us all the cards. So that was amazing. One of the names was Alma Moser, and I thought, who is Alma Moser? So I thought, I never heard of that name. He didn't know who it was. So I finally ran across a newspaper article from, I think it was the 1920s in Lilydale in the museum, and it mentioned Alma Moser, who was a medium in Lilydale. Son of a gun. Now, I didn't know. He didn't know. It's very evidential, the stuff that he does. And now he's doing it by Zoom as well. I think
That's
we're into a
That's
new
incredible.
Spiritual area by Zoom.
Wow. Well, I know that this is the last 20 minutes have been super fascinating. I mean, I'm at a loss of words, but I do have some words I got to say that unfortunately we have to go to a, well, fortunately, actually, we got to go to a commercial break. So we're going to take a little 3-minute break to get a word from our sponsors. But dear listeners, stick ahead. We've got a lot of more fascinating stuff coming up.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Signs of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour. Our guest tonight is Dr. Neil Zapolsky, and for the last bit of time, we've been talking, having an extremely fascinating conversation about spiritual and mostly about physical mediumship, which is
just mind-blowing. He's telling us stories. I could just sit there and listen to him all night. He's got anecdotes and stories about things that he's witnessed. This is somebody that is, you know, not easily duped. And one of the reasons, I believe, Doc, you're saying that you want to have all of this, you know, these seances in your own house is because you know your own house. You know there's no trap doors or secrets or anything like that. You know your own house. So, and yet, despite that, all of this, what you were telling me, has really occurred. And please share some more really cool stories.
Yeah, well, one, the coolest story, that one that takes the cake after 40 years plus of being a mental medium and having guests at my house doing physical seances like Kai Mugi and other people, Warren Kaler, and also medicine men, the most amazing, strong physical, well, I guess you could call it physical phenomena, although the medicine men don't like to call it that, but I had a native medicine man do a ceremony at my house. He's been to my house for many years, but the last time he was there was last May. And okay. He did three ceremonies in a row. The first two, you know, were took place at night, and the drummers drummed, and what happens is rattles will levitate and fly around the room, and hands will materialize and touch you, and you'll hear voices that are not our voices in the room, and feet stepping on the floor, which are not our feet. We're all sitting down, and medicine man is basically tied up in a blanket like a mummy. So on the third one, and he's asked me to do this before, but he'll have me tie up in a special star quilt next to him. What they do is they tie your hands behind your back, then they put a quilt over you and tie you with a special rope so that you're basically like a mummy, and then they lay you down on the floor. So I was, he said on the third one, and I've done this before next to him. Interestingly enough, when you're tied up on the floor in the dark in this ceremony, the spirits will actually come and talk to you and sit on you. And one time they tied my hands behind my back so tight that I said in the middle of the ceremony, which means grandfather, help me out, my hands are really hurting because they were so tight. In the blanket materialized a pair of hands that started untying my hands. So they loosened my hands up because I asked that. So that was incredible. But the most incredible thing, during these ceremonies, we lock the house. So I locked my house, and then the ceremony room is totally blacked out. The doors to the room are locked. Then it's totally covered with Velcro light-blocking drapes over the doors and everything. So there's not one iota of light. So, you know, I'm tied up next to Warfield, and the usual things are happening. The rattles are rattling, and the spirits are talking, and they're poking at you and all of this stuff. All of a sudden, on the outside of the ceremony room door, I hear this. I mean, the spirits will knock on the ceiling and floors and things, but I hear this bang, 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 and I thought, God, that's coming from outside the room. Who got in the house? The house is locked. So I rolled over to tell the medicine man that somebody got in the house, and the medicine man was gone. I couldn't find him. I said, and of course the drummers are drumming loudly and they're hearing these loud raps. So I yelled out, the medicine man is missing. So the drummer stopped drumming. We opened the door. There he was. He was the one knocking. The spirits took him from a closed, locked room, and he ended up in my kitchen and was knocking to get back in. Now, the interesting thing is, he said, the spirits didn't do that to show up. They did that to demonstrate that if they can do that, they can listen to your prayers for healing and create miracles. So it was just an absolute blow-me-away, lifetime, once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's been a year, and I'm still overwhelmed with that experience.
Now, I got to ask, were there any mind-altering substances during this ceremony introduced or anything?
No, especially okay. Native ceremonies. No alcohol, no drugs, nothing. As a matter of fact, you're not supposed to be near those things for 4 days before the ceremony. So it's all above board.
Right, right. No,
oh, I mean, I'll drink it.
Yeah, I had to ask because that seems very, very abnormal. Not something that you would see every day. Wow.
No, it is not something you see every day or every life. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Well, the spirits with hands materializing to loosen my ties. I mean, and all he did, you couldn't hear my voice. Nobody heard me except the spirits because I sent out that prayer, help me, my hands are hurting. And these hands appear in the blanket to loosen my ties behind me. It was amazing.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Are you planning to have any more of these ceremonies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have them off and on. I have an email list. Of course, now with social distancing, I'm not sure when the next Native ceremonies will be. Michael Shane is a physical medium from Washington. He is scheduled to be at my house this July. We'll have to see. He also does billet readings, which are absolutely amazing. You write your little question on a billet. You make up a number. He blindfolds himself. He pulls out the billet, and he'll say, "Yeah, who's 234? And the guy, woman will name, raise her hand. Yeah, that's me. And then he'll psychometrize the question on the billet, and he'll go, "When you can find somebody to put up with you," and then he'll hand the billet over to me, and I'll read it, and the question is, "When will I get married?" That's an example. That just is so amazing. I mean, he does this 35 people he'll do in about an hour and 20 minutes, and every one of them is right on. It's just amazing.
Spot on.
And he'll have seance where again, the trumpet, the seance trumpet will levitate, and it has a glow band on it, so you can actually see it move around in the dark. And voices will come through the trumpet and speak to the audience members and have a conversation. You can have a conversation with the spirits that way.
And, I remember seeing one of the trumpets. I was in a medium session many, many years ago when I first started this whole quest. And I didn't know good from bad or anything like that in terms of, who's a good medium. And we sat around this room. There was a trumpet in the middle, and this medium told me, "Yeah, it's a regular occurrence. This trumpet's going to go flying all over the place." The room wasn't darkened or anything, and I'm going, "All right, this is a crock. This is a complete crock. It's not going to happen." And, of course, it didn't move one iota. It was a very, very disappointing session. But it's probably, if you have people in the room with energy such as mine was, very, very skeptical, it probably doesn't help it.
That's true, it doesn't. Now, I mentioned that, I grew up near Lilydale, and when I was in high school, I got a reading which made me want to study this more, so I became a mental medium. But really, ever since that reading in Lilydale, I knew about physical seances, and I always wanted to witness one. So in Lilydale, I started a physical group, a development group, 40 years sitting for development. I developed mental mediumship fine, but I never saw physical mediumship. And I thought, by golly, I'm going to go find it. So I went to Europe, and I saw the physical seances in Europe. And so I thought, finally, I see these things. So then I get back to Lilydale, and I'm invited to a home circle. And they had a trumpet. They put it's a four-piece trumpet. And they said, "Well, Spirit said rinse out the trumpet and put two of the pieces on the table." So they did. And it wasn't even totally black. They lowered the blinds, and it was kind of like a twilight in the house. And then they had table tipping, and, the table didn't levitate or anything. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're pushing it. But at the end, all of a sudden, after 40 years of never seeing anything physical in Lilydale, in this semi-darkened room, this two-piece trumpet skitters across the table with nobody touching. And I thought, son of a gun, 40 years I waited for this. I went all the way to Europe to find it. Now I see it in Lilydale, finally. It's kind of interesting. So, yeah.
That is, wow. Very, very, very interesting.
So I'm in pursuit of it. So I'm hoping to develop a little bit myself. We'll have to see. I'm still working at it. Let me tell you. Go ahead if you have questions.
Oh, I was just going to add. No, I've got my question written down, but I don't want to wreck your train of thought, so go ahead.
Okay, I was talking about Hoyt Robinette and the amazing thing he did with the pictures and the names that appear. It took him...
The basket guy, yep.
Yeah, He sat every single day near 11 p.m. for almost an hour for 14 years before that started happening. So it just didn't happen overnight. As we were talking about earlier, it takes dedication, persistence and consistence, and faith. I'm telling you, 14 years. And really, that's when he started to get marks on the cards. It took him another 3 years before it really got amazing. So
wow.
It's a slow process.
So have you sat in on a David Thompson sitting? Have you been to one of his in Australia?
No. He actually comes to the United States once in a while. Tom Newman is a friend of his who invited him over to Sarasota when he had a metaphysical center there. I've seen him there. I also saw him in Phoenix, Arizona. Tom Newman now lives in Santa Fe. And in Phoenix, they had a conference, and one of the seances was offered from the AREI, which is Association for Research and Enlightenment Incorporated or something. Not an Edgar Cayce thing, but it was something similar conference in Phoenix. And I saw David Thompson there at a seance as well.
Oh, okay. So how was that seance?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I should bring this up, and it's a good point. Okay, so David Thompson, there's absolutely no doubt that what you witness is not fake. It's physical phenomena. However, it's like a dog and pony show. He brings in all these big names, and they do some things. They do tricks or whatever you want to call them. And it shows that spirit is definitely manipulating matter, and even some loved ones are brought through. But it's such a show sometimes that it's kind of hard to believe. It's kind of hokey in a way. That's my opinion. I mean, he's real. He's genuine. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just like, what do you get out of it?
And
a lot
he brings in Louis Armstrong comes to a lot of his seances.
Exactly. Yes. Louis Armstrong is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Abe Lincoln comes through and talks. But, you know, to me, Abe Lincoln doesn't talk with the proper accent that he would have talked with, you know. So, I mean, and here's the question. There's spirit intelligence manipulating matter in these seances. But are they who they say they are? Or are they masquerading to be, you know, to stroke their own ego or the medium's ego? I don't know. Very
who's
interesting.
That? You've heard of Larry Flint, right? Or not Larry Flint, but Flint, some
Leslie.
Flint guy.
Leslie Flint.
Leslie Flint, yeah.
Yeah.
Leslie Flint was probably one of the best voice mediums, physical voice mediums in the world.
Yeah, and his recordings are online. You can find them online. You can listen to them online.
You know, I've got very discerning ears because I'm a musician. To me, all of his readings, it sounds like him. It doesn't... I don't see the. I can see him trying to sound like other people, but to me, it just it. I you know the messages are one thing. They're, you know, obviously he's bringing in messages from loved ones that nobody else could have known, and that was. But for me, as an outsider, I don't know that these messages are true. I just hear somebody changing their voice to sound like somebody else. I mean,
well, now here's something you should know about the laws of vibration. First of all, for a spirit to channel through a medium, you have to use part of the medium's vibration to get it through. So you can have very evidential spirit message through Leslie Flint, but it will necessarily pick up some of his characteristics. The spirit, if it's a foreign spirit speaking through Leslie Flint in English, they'll pick up the language from Leslie Flint's brain to bring through. It's like Kai Mugi. Kai Mugi is a German medium. So... Oh, I got to tell you a story about that. Anyway, so he channels through Professor Hans Bender, who did not speak English. Professor Hans Bender died, I think, in 1964. He was a German psychic researcher, and he is the spokesperson through Kai Mugi. He speaks English because he looks in Kai Mugi's brain to bring out the information in English. And that's one of the things I told you, I was chasing physical phenomena in Europe before I went and got it in the United States. And I met Kai. The first time I met Kai was in Spain. He was doing three seances there for some English vacationers in Spain. You know, it's kind of like our Florida, our snowbirds. You know, England has snowbirds in Spain. So anyway, he did three seances there. And in a way, like, it was a dog and pony show in a way. It was like Professor Hans Bender would go, "Now we will show you the levitation of the trumpet." And then the next thing, he would go, "Now we will have the ectoplasm." And it was very regimented, just like Germans are. But on the third seance, he goes, he says, "These English, they want proof of the continuity of life." He says, "We need to do that. We can't go through our usual spiel because they don't believe us." So he says, "So I'm going to bring through some evidence." So he brings through evidence of a father to one of the women. And then he says, and I'm in a circle, and people in Spain only knew that I was a medium from Lilydale. They did not know that I was a doctor. They did not know I was an HIV specialist. I didn't say anything. All he said was, "I'm a medium from Lilydale interested in physical seances." So in the third seance, in trance, Professor Bender says, "There is a person in the circle to the medium's right, and there is a spirit that wants to speak to this male. This male cared for this spirit in a special way. The spirit had a medical condition which required a specialist. This person in the audience was that person. Basically, I'm an HIV and AIDS specialist," and he described to a T one of my patients. And then he goes, and he says, "And this medium in the circle, this person in the circle has a guide. He is a Sioux Indian, and he is saying, and he's holding a stick, and he says, 'Do you know the stick?' And then he says, 'Oh, no, it is a pipe.' He says, 'Do you know the pipe?' And he says, 'He is saying a word in the Sioux language, which I do not understand, but which this person will understand. And he is saying the word," he says, "and I don't know how to pronounce this. It sounds like Vichasha Wakan," which is, in fact, a Lakota word, Vichasha Wakan, which means medicine man or doctor, which I was, and nobody knew that. So that was like very evidential from a medium that you can say, well, you know, it's a dog and pony show. They get the ectoplasm, they do the trumpet levitation. But that was blow me away, amazing evidence of spirit communication.
Fantastic.
So physical mediumship can still, I mean, it's absolutely mind-boggling what they can do.
So we're going to take another short break, but we're going to stay tuned, listeners. This has been amazingly fascinating, and we're going to come back with a couple of more stories for everybody. So stay tuned.
Okay.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Signs of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour, where we're talking to Dr. Neil Sapolsky, and we are just having a fascinating conversation with him about his experiences with physical mediumship. And he's just, you know, he's been and seen so much. And, you know, I had a list of questions prepared for you, Doc, but I think, you know, just listening to some of your anecdotes, just, you know, I think the listeners would find that a lot more interesting. So tell me some more about, you know, some really cool things that you've seen. Let's take it from there.
Okay, well, you know, physical mediumship is just a very big interest of mine. And so we were talking about a little bit about, like, you know, it's kind of like a dog and pony show in a way. It's like spirits, you know, watch what we can do and look at this and look, we can produce that. On the other hand, they're usually, even with all of this antics that the spirits do, I mean, they'll pull tricks on the audience. Sometimes they'll touch you, or they'll laugh, you know, and make jokes. I mean, when Warren Taylor is bringing through spirits, he'll bring through famous people as well, such as Winston Churchill, who insists that he's Winston Churchill and seems to have an accent of Winston Churchill coming through. As a matter of fact, when Warren was in Switzerland, they're very scientific in Switzerland, and he goes to Basel, and Lucia Wertmüller in Basel, like me, invites a lot of physical mediums to the Psychic Research Center in Basel. And when Warren was there, they have a lot of scientists, and they actually made a voice print of Winston Churchill. Now, when you were saying that Leslie Flint sounds like Leslie Flint, Winston comes through Warren, but Warren does, in a seance, Winston's voice comes independently in the middle of the room. It's like there's a speaker in the middle of the room, right, or a voice box in the middle of the room. There's no trumpet even. It just comes out of nowhere. So this voice is speaking. And in Switzerland, they had location microphones as well as a voice print. And the location microphones in the room showed indeed that the voice was coming from the middle of the room somewhere up toward the ceiling. And when they did a voice copy and compared it to Winston's actual recording from World War II speeches, they found more than a 98% match to his voice, which is amazing. So
that's very evidential.
So it's very evidential what they're coming with. And even though, and I'll use Warren as an example, I mean, Winston will come and he'll joke. And they think, what is such a great leader coming saying, hi, Neil? You know, it's like, what? You know, but in fact, they're people just like you and I, and they expressed through their personality that we will recognize from the spirit side of life. It's just like a lot of times as a mental medium, I'll use this example. I'll bring through somebody's grandma, and she comes through as the most beautiful, radiant 35-year-old woman. But she says, my granddaughter will not recognize me if you show me, if you describe me that way. So here's what I look like that she'll recognize. So then I'll go and I'll tell the reader, the person I'm reading for, what the grandmother looked like, and oh yeah, that's her. And I said, well, now she wants you to know she is absolutely radiantly beautiful at her favorite time of her life. So they can change,
right.
But to relate to an audience, Winston will come through as a human being joking and with the rest of us,
right.
So it's kind of interesting how that happens.
And you got to bring in, when you're at one of these seances, you got to ask for them to bring out Yogi Berra, because he had a lot of good sayings.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
He would be pretty fascinating. He might come up with some new ones.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Certain spirits are interested in working through physical mediums and expressing, and others are not. So I don't know if Yogi Berra could just be called up and come in. However,
right.
Winston, on the other hand, and people don't know this, but during Winston's World War II, he visited, I can't remember her name, Estelle Roberts, I believe. The last person to be imprisoned under the laws of witchcraft in England was this person. I think it was Estelle Roberts, who was a physical...
Helen Duncan?
Helen Duncan, yes. Helen Duncan, yes. So anyway, Helen Duncan would during World War II, was a famous physical medium, and she... in the seance room would produce ectoplasm, which is this substance that is semi-solid, manipulated by spirits. And spirits would appear in the ectoplasm to talk to their loved ones who were in the seance room. One time,
One time they burst in on her, right?
That's a different story. But one time a spirit manifested, and it was a mother, came to talk to the mother. The spirit was in the Navy, the British Navy, and this is World War II. And the spirit said, Mom, I'm sending my love to you because I just lost my life on such and such a boat in the Mediterranean. Well, you know, back then they didn't have the communications we have now. So this is the first the mother heard of it. Well, the problem was she heard about it and heard the description before the confidential information was released. So she was a security risk. And so they imprisoned her for the rest of the war because of that giving out information that was classified. And Winston used to consult her during the war for advice and would go to the prison and ask her things. So Winston was involved in physical phenomena and seances, and Helen Duncan was a friend of his. And so, of course, he would come through in a seance more likely than Yogi Berra, let's say, if Yogi Berra
Yeah.
You know,
wow,
so that was
my point.
But
that's really fascinating.
I don't know if it was her that this happened to, but they, you know, when she resumed her mediumship, and I don't know if it was her that died from it. Some medium died from the ectoplasm going back into her body too quickly.
That's correct.
When they burst in on it. It's her?
It was her. She was released after the laws of witchcraft. After the war, she was no longer a security risk. They released her from prison. She continued seances. Police undercover agents didn't believe it. They had lights they brought into the seance room. They turned it on when she had a full materialized spirit, which, of course, dissolved like soap bubbles in a wind and rushed back into her, so she had burns. And she died 2 weeks later from the aftermath of that disturbance, of that psychic disturbance. And when the spirit ectoplasm dissolves in light like that without the spirits being prepared, it zaps into her body, and it can be very harmful. Kai Mugi, who's a physical medium, he'll show you scars on his arms from when inadvertently, nobody does it for him on purpose, but inadvertently a light will switch on or something. And if there's ectoplasm out there, it will snap back to the medium and hurt them. So
has anybody studied ectoplasm, like what it's made of?
Yeah, ectoplasm is, the spirit stabilized it enough so that you could look at it under the microscope, actually. And it's made out of, it's part of it is energetic so that it can be manipulated by the spirits. But part of it actually comes from the pancreas and some mucosal cells and mucus from the medium. So it sometimes will, and it can have different consistencies. It will sometimes look like cheesecloth, other times like cotton candy. Sometimes it will have a peculiar odor, not exactly like vomit, but it's not pleasant. It's not perfumey, I'll tell you. And, so it's a physical substance which can be exuded from the medium's living substance. And that's why it's so dangerous if the light comes on and it zaps back into the medium. So some physical phenomena, like what Hoyt does, is in full light and it's not dangerous. But yet, something's going on in that little basket that the spirits are able to draw those pictures and write those names. So, different forms of phenomena. And also, in broad daylight, you can have apports appear. I remember one time we were at the Cheesecake Factory in Florida with Warren Taylor. We took him out, and we ordered our dishes, and he says, "My God," he says, "my mouth feels funny." And he touched it, and out of his mouth came an apport, which was it looked like about a jewel the size of a quarter. It just plopped on the table. And, obviously he wasn't hiding in his mouth. He was talking fine and drinking water and everything before that. So it just appeared. He said, it happened to him once on a plane, and the stewardess was serving drinks, and out popped this apport. He says, "Here, take this."
No kidding. So listen, Doc, it's been an hour. I mean, the time is almost run out. But before we go, I'd like to you to tell our listeners about your website and somebody you were mentioning during break about a book.
Yes, Ruth Schilling. Ruth Schilling wrote a series of books on various mediums, including me. It's a short 100-page book. It's an easy read. You can find more out about it at neilzepkowski.com, which is my name, neilrzepkowski.com, or Google it online. Ruth Schilling is the author. So if you Google Ruth Schilling, you'll see her books and one on me as well. And you'll learn more about it.
Hello?
Yes, okay.
Oh, yep, sorry. Well, thank you very much, Doc. Thank you for being with us. It was extremely fascinating. And we will want to thank our listeners and just keep the faith. And thank you very much. And I look forward to talking to you again, Doc.
Okay, very good. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Be well and be safe.